Wait, I have to confess something, though.
Yeah? You don't know what the alternative is?
No. I literally this morning bought him a gift.
Oh, was it the thing I found last night where I was like, oh, your brother would love this?
Yes, it was just too perfect to not give it to him.
Well, you know what?
Oh, my God. I'm the asshole.
Well, you know what, babe?
Hello and welcome to the Pillow Talks podcast. We're your hosts, Vanessa
and Xander Marin.
I'm a sex therapist with over 20 years of experience.
And I'm just a regular dude. We share the ups and downs in our relationship while giving you step-by-step techniques for improving yours.
Make sure you subscribe for your weekly double date full of totally doable sex tips, practical relationship advice, hilarious and honest stories of what really goes on behind closed bedroom doors, and so much more. It's the sex education you wish you'd had.
Thanks to Storyworth for supporting Pillow Talks. Storyworth is a meaningful gift you and your family can treasure forever, and you can get started right away. Go to storyworth.com/pillow to get $10 off your first purchase. We are back with another episode of Am I the Asshole? This time, the holiday edition. So we did an Am I the Asshole episode back in episode 125, and it was just an instant hit. People told us like they loved the episode. It was so entertaining to listen to, a great conversation starter with their partner. You guys just begged us to bring it back, and we thought, you know what? This time of the year is perfect for it, because around the holidays, there are so many instances of tricky situations that leave us wondering, am I the asshole in this situation, or is the other person?
Now, let's be real. It wasn't that hard to convince us to do it again, because we had a great time recording that one. It was one of our favorite ones to record. I love doing episodes where we get to respond to your questions, and especially in these where it's a bit more detailed. Like when we do Ask Us Anything on Instagram, you know, we're at best looking at a couple sentences. So I just love these types of episodes. I'm glad you guys love them too, because we can always do more of these. And I think there's no shortage of Am I the Asshole questions out there.
Oh, no. We got so many submissions. It was really difficult to pick the ones that we picked. So we're really excited to get back into it. And of course, we have to give credit here where credit is due. Am I the Asshole started on Reddit. It's a super popular Reddit thread where people ask the same question. So not our idea originally, but these are our opinions. Also, on a personal note, I just have to say, we are home for the holidays.
We are.
If you've been following our saga.
We're home for this episode, too.
If you've been following our saga on Instagram, we had to move out of our house for about 5 weeks because we're doing some renovation work. And so this is our first time being back in our house and recording. And we also decided to switch up the locations we're recording in our bedroom, because we thought, like, you know, Pillow Talks. We got to get in bed, cuddle up with some pillows, get comfortable, get cozy, have some talks.
Yeah, I mean, it's so much for furnishing our office as a bit of a podcast studio. But, you know, this is one of those, you know, funny things. You know, who knows what is coming around the corner of life? You make all these plans, you set things up, and, you know, we had this nice setup going in our office with these super comfy chairs and got that all dialed in. We started recording some video of us doing that, and then we move out of the house. And we go into this rental, and there's not a good space to record the podcast, really. Like, not like good couch or chair space. And so we were like, let's just try it from bed. And it turns out it's pretty fun to record a podcast in bed. Vanessa, it turns out, is a lot more flexible than I am. It's a lot easier for her to sit in this position. If you are wondering what position we're in, come over to Instagram and
doggy look. Style.
No.
What if you recorded a whole podcast episode in doggy style?
I mean, we've done episodes about sex positions, and how come we never thought to actually be in the sex positions while recording? We have to get some handheld mics, you know?
I mean, we have these stands that are pretty flexible. We can, you know, put them where we need them to go.
We also don't have to have the mic connected to the stand. We can just hold, you know, it's a bit awkward because it's a podcast mic, but you can still hold on to it. I feel like we have recorded one or two episodes like that when we forgot our stand somewhere. But anyway, that's all to say that it turns out it's fun to record it in bed, even though I have to have a pillow under my butt so that my legs don't fall asleep. And I like it, so we might keep doing this.
Before we get into the review of the week, though, we have a quick ask of you.
Holiday ask. You ruined my transition. I had such a good one.
Little behind the scenes info. Xander did not transition. He just stopped talking and stared at me blankly. And I was like, babe, you're up with the
roof. Well, you did have to blow your nose. So it was impeccable timing. And I was totally ready with the transition.
Okay.
Except I have forgotten what it was because I forgot what the last thing I said is before I gave you the Kleenex. So
excellent.
No, go on. We'll see if I come up with something in the moment.
Okay. So our holiday ask of you is to please support the podcast. We really rely on you guys to help the podcast grow. This is something I did not understand before I had a podcast of my own, but there really is no way for a podcast to grow without community support. So if you enjoy the podcast, if we make you laugh, can you at least do the easiest thing, which is just to follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever it is that you listen, just hit that little follow button. That's all you need to do, and it would be a big help. And if you want to go above and beyond, go the extra mile, then you could really help us by writing a review.
And speaking of reviews, let's read you one. Let's read you a review by someone who has gone the extra mile. Thank you. I recently came across this podcast after Vanessa and Xander were guests on Fake Doctors, Real Friends, hosted by Zach Braff and Donald Faison.
A lot of people found us from that episode. That's awesome.
That was a great, great episode. Love Zach and Donald. That was super fun. I wanted to thank both Vanessa and Xander for allowing me to feel validated in the grief I've experienced in my choice to be child-free. Yes, it's my choice, but that doesn't mean it was easy. I found myself crying while listening to them describing their own grief about the topic, and it felt so validating. I always felt that I shouldn't be allowed to have grief on this because it's my choice. So thank you for normalizing that it's not always as simple as you either want children or you don't. That podcast episode resonated with me so much that I binged the rest of the episodes in 3 weeks. Job well done.
Oh my God, that's so many episodes in 3 weeks.
And for Xander, they did a string of emojis, a callback to, you know, the olden days when you used to have to try to stump me. But in basically in emojis, it looks like it's saying, no babies, cry, love, happy, thumbs up. Going, feeling all the feels about being child free.
So that is episode 37. If you've never listened to it, The Truth About Why We're Child-Free, by far and away our most popular episode. And man, it feels really freaking good to hear reviews like this and know that the podcast is having that big of an impact on you guys. So thank you so much for taking the time to leave these reviews. And we do this giveaway every single week as our way of saying thank you. So if you leave us a review, you are entered automatically every week going forward. And if you hear your review read in an episode, email us at info@vmtherapy.com, and you will get to pick one of our masterclasses to get as a free gift. All right, let's get to it. So we have a ton of holiday-related stories that we're going to share. Like we did last time, I went through with one of our team members and picked the stories. Xander has not read the stories, and we have not talked about them. So you'll get some hot takes about whether we think the person writing in is the asshole or the other people in the story are the asshole.
Someday we might have to switch this up and let you be the hot taker.
Oh, go for it. Yeah.
Here comes the hot taker.
No.
Yeah, I went there.
Oh, that's such a dated reference, babe.
Such a good song, though.
And an obscure one.
It's such a good song.
What song is it for those people who are not 40 and older?
Here comes the hot stepper. That's all I know.
Do you know who sang that song? One Hit Wonder.
No, I don't know.
Eni Kamosi.
Definitely didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, it'll ring a bell once I hear it. Nope. Nope.
Okay, here's our first story. It was the first Christmas with my in-laws after getting married. They wanted to do a gift exchange. My husband and I had already decided we didn't have the money to do gifts that year, so I told my mother-in-law on a group chat with my husband that we would not be joining the gift exchange and explained why we weren't. She went behind my back and messaged just my husband to ask if he wanted to do the gift exchange. She offered to give him money so that we could afford to buy gifts. My husband said no thank you, and we still went to Christmas with them. I'm still annoyed to this day about it, mostly that she didn't listen to what I said and had to go message my husband, and also that she didn't respect our boundaries around money and wanted to give us money instead. Am I the asshole? I wanted to pick this one to go first because this one feels very tricky to me, but what's your hot take? Who's the asshole here? And you have to just give a hot take.
I guess the person writing in is the asshole.
I agree with you. I'll tell you. I agree with you. I mean, it's a tough one.
Like, if anything, I would say kind of like no one is the asshole here. What I don't know is the person writing in, is this affecting her relationship, like, with her husband's family now? Like, if this is, if she's like, if she's like,
years later,
if she's like, I hate my mother-in-law, screw them, I don't want to hang out with them because I'm holding this thing over them, or like, I'm holding on to this, I'm still resenting her for this, then yeah, I would say that you are the asshole. Because look, the way that I read this is your mother-in-law, yes, you could look at it as she went behind your back. You could also look at it as she went and talked to her son.
Yeah.
Who is, you know, that's a relationship that you don't have. Like, they're different relationships. You are husband and wife. She is mother and son. She's allowed to have a relationship with her son. She's allowed to talk to her son. And she suggested an option. It sounds like your husband did held the boundary really well and just said no.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else he said to her, but I could have, when I first started reading this question, I was like, oh God, like the mom goes and talks to the son and the son goes, oh, well, actually we really do, but I don't know. I mean, it's like, it's just my wife.
Oh, or, yeah. Like, that's a classic. Like, you cannot throw your partner under the bus in those kinds of situations.
Like, I was worried it was going there, but then it was like, oh, like looks like the husband does everything right. Says no, thank you. They still do it. And clearly the mom respected that boundary. There's no other story here of, oh, she gave us gifts anyway, or she like gave us gifts to give, you know, like.
Yeah.
So it sounds like, it's annoying. Sure. It's annoying that she didn't listen to you the first time. But I don't know. How many times have you offered something to someone after they said no? I feel like with friends or something, it's like, oh, like, are you sure you don't want to come out tonight? Like, I'll pay for you. It's fine. You know, like if you can tell me that you have never said, are you sure about something, or like brought something back up, then okay, cool. That's who you are. You never want to, you want to say something once and you want it to be listened to and respected, but
yeah. I'm with you on this one. It's tricky. And of course, there could be a totally different vibe to this, that like the mother-in-law was being very schemy or manipulative or whatever. But like,
she would have written that because I know all the ways that this could have gone horribly wrong. And why would you not write those things down?
The way that I read it, I look at it as the mother-in-law like trying to be really generous. I totally agree with you that there, you know, we often ask like, are you sure? Like, could I change your mind? And I think especially around the holidays where people are trying to be generous and giving, and you know, we have all of this like meaning and tradition wrapped up in gift giving, and you know, that like the mother-in-law was sad of like, oh man, like they don't have the money to participate this year, like I want to help them out, like I can help them with the money. And especially it being like their first Christmas, where maybe the mother-in-law was like, you know, yeah, we're still getting to know each other, and this is maybe our first holiday together, and like, you know, I don't want to pressure my new daughter-in-law, but I can go talk to my son directly because we have a closer relationship. We can, you know, communicate more directly, whatever it is. So I don't think of the, I don't see this as the mother-in-law like going behind the back or not listening to boundaries. I just see it as her trying to find an alternate solution. And I really think that it was coming from a place of generosity, not a like, oh, you fools who can't afford the holiday exchange. You know, it's like, she's like, I get that you guys can't afford it this year. Let me help you out. I can help you afford it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess one way to think about it as well is like, what if it had gone slightly differently? Instead of you sending the message on the group chat, what if your husband had been the one to send it? So, you know, the son says, you know what, mom, we're not going to do gifts this year. And then he comes and then he tells you like 2 weeks later, oh, you know what, my mom called me yesterday and like asked if I was sure about that, and like offered to, you know, to like give us some money to so that we could do some gifts. Like, would you be like, oh my God, what a horrible person. I can't believe she circled back with you about that. I can't believe she, you know, she didn't respect your boundary.
Also, I take issue with this person saying she didn't respect our boundaries around money.
Yeah, I was just thinking that is.
It's like, I think people are talking a lot more about boundaries these days, which is great. Boundaries are extremely important. But as a therapist, I'm seeing a lot of misunderstandings about, you know, boundaries and how we communicate them. So the person said, we don't have money to do gifts this year.
Oh, each time I read this, I'm seeing new things in it.
Yeah.
You didn't say we aren't doing gifts. You said we don't have the money to do gifts. And so
that's a good point. The mom
literally offers to solve your problem for you.
So, okay. So, but this person just said, like, you know, we don't have money to do gifts this year. Then the mother-in-law offers the money. Then they say, no, you know, we have a boundary around we don't want to take money. The mother-in-law respected that. I think what they're taking issue with is they're saying the mother-in-law disrespected our boundary by offering the money, but you didn't state that boundary to begin with.
I don't think anyone even stated a boundary around, we have a boundary around not taking money. It's just that the husband just said, no, thank you.
Exactly. So like you can't get upset with somebody for not respecting your boundaries when you haven't clearly articulated and shared those boundaries.
Yeah. And I mean, in sharing a boundary, you kind of have to say like, you know, we have decided we aren't going to do gifts this year. I understand that people might have different feelings about that. This is a firm choice. And like, I would like you to respect that choice. And please don't, you know, like, please don't come back to us, you know, with, I don't know, different ideas or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In order to set a boundary, you have to either kind of clearly use the word boundary, or you have to say what exactly it is, very clearly what it is that you don't want someone to do. Number two, I have a six-week-old baby and we went to my in-laws for Thanksgiving. Turns out my three-year-old niece was recovering from a stomach virus and nobody told us. She was feeling better, so we didn't know at the time, but we found out later she was literally throwing up hours before dinner. My in-laws also threw a fit about being asked to wash their hands before holding my baby. Meanwhile, little to my knowledge, they were helping to take care of my sick niece hours beforehand. The next day, we found out about the stomach bug because almost everyone at Thanksgiving dinner got sick. Luckily, we didn't. I told my husband's family, if they aren't going to tell us when someone is sick, we won't come around anymore. Am I the asshole?
You are not the asshole. Everybody else in your family is the asshole. And this one grinds my gears, right?
Yeah, I think so.
There's also some sort of saying about a gullet, like gets my gullet.
Oh, God.
Right? Isn't there something about a gullet?
That doesn't sound right to me.
All right. This one grinds my gears, like, especially at this time of the year.
From like 2 months of being sick.
As somebody who is still sick and who has been sick for like 2 months, you got to tell people about your germs. It is not fair to expose people to germs and not tell them ahead of time. Like, this is ridiculous. This is such a clear-cut one to me. That's a very, very normal, understandable, healthy boundary to set. Like, hey, please tell us if people are sick. Because if you're not telling people, like, you're taking away their agency and their choice. Like, some people might say, hey, I was just sick. I'm not worried about it. Or like, okay, you guys have been sick for like a week. You're probably not contagious anymore. That's fine. I'll come anyways. Like, some people might still decide to hang out and spend time together. But like, you have to give people that choice. And they have to know all the information ahead of time to be able to make an informed decision. And especially with brand new little babies, 6 weeks old. Like, you have to be so careful with babies. They don't have their like full immune system. So this one's a very clear, like, no, your family's the asshole. And I think it's totally fine to say, yeah, if this continues to happen, like, we're not going to come visit you.
Yeah, I momentarily forgot about the six-week-old baby detail. And setting the baby aside, if it's like just you two, I guess I was thinking initially that maybe it's a bit intense to just be like, okay, you didn't tell us about this, and then you sort of make a threat. I'm not going to come. If you don't tell us when someone is sick, I won't come anymore. My thought was like, well, yeah, I get that you're upset. And I mean, well, God, I mean, everyone else got sick, but you, at least you didn't get sick.
I know, it's karma.
I know. But you know, and my thought was, well, maybe this could be a request before the threat.
Oh, like, that's a really good point.
Like,
yeah.
Next time, like, could you please not do this again? If someone is sick, I would like to know. You don't need to include the threat. I won't come around anymore until they have actually violated, like, this sort of like boundaries. Like, if you haven't set the boundary, you can't say, hey, that was a boundary and you broke it and now I'm never going to talk to you again.
Yes, you're totally
if you
right.
didn't know about it. In this case, it could be like, all right, guys, you know what? That sucked. Everyone got sick. You know, I would have really appreciated if you had told me, would you please tell us next time
Yeah.
before we come? And then if that happens again, then you say, I'm not sure what's going on here. You know, like, I know we clearly requested this. It's not, you know, safe for us or for our baby or whatever. And we won't be able to come around as much because you're not taking this seriously for us.
You're totally right. I think I got so annoyed with the sickness thing that I just went into assuming that this was something that had happened repeatedly, but they're only saying this one time. So the person who wrote this, you are a tiny bit of the hole. We decided to do this last time. We were like, we felt kind of bad calling people assholes, so we started calling you the hole instead. You're a tiny bit of a hole for turning one incident into a threat. Like, what Xander just said is the much better way to communicate. Like, loop back around, say, hey, it was really distressing for us to show up and realize that people were sick and we didn't know beforehand. Please next time let us know if anybody is sick. If they do it again after you've made that clear request, then I think you could phrase it as like, look, we asked for this, you didn't do it. If this continues to happen, like, we're just not going to come because we can't trust that we're not going to be exposed to germs when we do.
Yeah. I mean,
but don't come in hot and heavy with the threat.
Yeah. I mean, and this, I guess the 6 week old baby is a bit of the wild card there. I was saying that my suggestion applied, like, if the baby weren't in the picture, but you know, I don't know. We aren't parents. I don't know exactly what the protocols are on babies and how old they are.
I think you can be very firm when you say, like, look, this was really distressing to us. We have a baby. Babies are more susceptible to, you know, illnesses. This could have been really bad. Like, you can be very firm. But again, I think it's not usually effective to come in hot and heavy with a threat the first time you've communicated something to someone.
And I mean, I think the other thing, though, is that, you know, with this, I think, you know, from everything, you know, what I remember of being a kid and everything I know of my friends who are parents, is like, there are differing schools of thought on kids and sickness and germs. Like, you know, there is the reality that kids are sick all the time, especially like once they're in school and stuff. And if, you know, parents have multiple kids, it's like, it's very hard to like properly prevent sickness. And so I think there are definitely some people who are of the thought of like, oh, it's just kids, like kids, there's like, there's always germs, like it is what it is. And so I think that, you know, I wouldn't come in hot and heavy, like, you are horrible people for doing this, like, don't you know that it's not good for a 6 week old baby? I think it's more of taking ownership for, hey, this is how we want to approach health with our child. We would like for you to respect that with us. I get that you might have a different perspective around that.
Yeah. All right. Here's our next scenario. Am I the asshole for thinking it's rude to give someone a gift when they have said they don't want anything?
Is this the mother real quick? Is this the mother from the first one?
Yeah, she ran into. I have made an agreement with my own parents and siblings that we will not exchange gifts this year, and instead we'll all only gift the children. I told my husband's family that my family made that decision, and I stated that I do not want anything and would rather it go to the kids. They essentially said, we're not doing that, in a nicer way, of course, and asked for a wish list. Now I have the responsibility of creating and sending a wish list, plus I have to take the time to send thank you notes for gifts that aren't special because I told them exactly what to get, which is the better alternative than leaving it to them by being stubborn and not sending a list, when I'd really rather just get nothing. So let's start with the first question. Xander, is someone an asshole for thinking it's rude to give someone a gift when they have said they don't want anything?
Yeah, I mean, in general, it is rude to do something that someone tells you they don't want.
Yes.
Yes.
I agree with you on that one. And I think this is a tough one for people at this time of year because so many of us have really great associations with gift giving. I mean, I'm somebody who loves giving gifts. It brings me so much joy to give gifts. I enjoy giving gifts more than I enjoy receiving gifts. Like, so I love the holidays. Like, I think about gifts all the time. So I understand that, like, you know, for me, if somebody told me I don't want a gift, which actually is the case, my brother this year said that he doesn't want gifts, there is an amount of sadness that comes up for me of like, oh, but shoot, like, this is such a great, like, fun, meaningful way for me to show love.
To be fair, your brother did suggest an alternative, though.
Which I think is the perfect solution to this.
So it is like giving it. You are gifting him in a different way.
Wait, I have to confess something, though.
Yeah? You don't know what the alternative is?
No. I literally this morning bought him a gift.
Oh, was it the thing I found last night where I was like, oh, your brother would love
yes,
this?
Yes, it was just too perfect to not give it to him.
Well, you know what?
Oh my God, I'm the asshole.
Well, you know what, babe? I was the one that found it. And
you're the asshole
to be fair, he sent an email. I was going to be like, you know, your brother didn't tell me not to give him a gift.
No, he did. We're both assholes.
Well, you know
what?
We
need to just end the episode here. We are both holiday assholes.
I have a great idea. Your brother and I are both the same size. So I will wear that to Christmas. And I'll be like, you know what? We got this for you. Jonathan, I'm curious if, I don't think you listen to our podcast, but maybe you do. And then this will be ruined. But I will wear the gift that I thought that you would love. And I will give you the choice whether you want to take it off of my back or not.
God. I'm just dying inside a little bit that I am recognizing this.
Did you order it?
I did.
Nice.
It was just too perfect of a gift not to give him. Okay.
Well, I like it too. I like it too. It'll look good on me as well.
Okay. So here's what he did though, which I think is a perfect solution for this situation. So my brother has struggled historically with Christmas because he's not big on gift receiving. I think he actually likes giving gifts.
He does.
But he doesn't like receiving gifts, and he can feel like, you know, the holidays are materialistic and it's just overly consumerist. And actually he and I have had some family drama over the holidays because I love gifts so much and it's like it's so meaningful and special to me. And we've had a hard time like seeing each other's perspectives and recognizing that like we're both right. Like we both get to have our own experiences of the holidays. So what he did this year is he said, look, like I really don't need anything. So if you feel the desire though to get me a gift, he gave two options. One was a category of things of like quality time things that we could do together. And it was things
so
like
still basically a gift.
Yeah. It was like, you know, we could go to an exercise class together. We could go on a hike. We could go grab coffee or, you know, so he gave like specific ideas, but the general theme was like, let's spend quality time doing something meaningful, having like a shared experience. And then the other category was you could also donate in my name to any of these organizations. And he gave like, you know, a couple of organizations that are really dear to his heart. And I think that's a beautiful solution. And that would be a great solution for the person here, where like you're giving people specific things to give you. And, you know, you could just do the donations if you don't want to have any quality time with your in-laws because you're annoyed with them now. But yeah, I think it's allowing them to show you their love and to show you that they care about you, but in a way that feels good to you. So I think that's a great solution. I will have to rethink my, it was a really cute sweatshirt and I'm planning on doing the donations anyways. So I'm going to have to rethink it, but it, man, okay. I will just accept that I'm the holiday asshole here.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Do you want to know what I think about this?
Okay.
This is tricky because it's like on your side of the family, it sounds like you guys have made a collective decision, your parents, amongst your parents and siblings, that you're all not exchanging gifts. What I can't tell is whether you've then told your husband's family, like, oh yeah, everyone in my side of the family isn't exchanging gifts. I can't tell if you're suggesting to them that you want to apply this to their whole family, in which case I totally get them being like, no, we're not doing that. Mm-hmm. Or if you are just saying, hey, this is what we are doing in my family. And as a result, like in order to be consistent and so, you know, for my kids, I would appreciate it if you didn't give us gifts and like we will also not be doing gifts. Okay. That's fine. I think it's hilarious that they said, no, we're not going to do that. And then two said, now give us a list. I mean, I think
The
list is hilarious. Where, I mean, honestly, where I think you went wrong is you gave them, you played into that. You should have just said, no, like we're not, like I told you, like I said, we don't want gifts and I'm not going to give you a list. I'm not going to give you a list and I'm not going to send thank you cards for gifts that I didn't ask for. Instead you have created all this extra work for yourself by being like, oh, well, okay, well, if you're going to give them to me, then I guess I'm going to have to give you a list. And I'm going to tell you what we want because I don't trust you to give us gifts. And then I'm going to write you cards for the gifts that don't feel special, even though you're the one that said what they are. So I don't know. It sounds like you've created a whole lot of work for yourself and manufactured a lot of resentment. Mm-hmm. But again, like, yeah, they are the assholes for kind of being rude. But then again, it's hard to tell how clear or firm of a boundary you actually set around this.
Yeah. Before we go any further, we want to tell you a little bit more about our sponsors. First up, we have Storyworth. If you are spending time with your family during the holidays, chances are you're going to hear a lot of stories. The ones you love to hear, the ones you've heard, and then the ones you've heard too many times. But have you ever wanted to help your loved ones document those timeless stories? It can be challenging to write an entire book of life memories, but Storyworth makes this so fun and easy. And best of all, they are offering $10 off your first purchase at storyworth.com/pillow. So we got Storyworth for both of my parents during the last holiday season, and we loved being able to give it because it was just such a meaningful gift, not like the same old crap that we've given them every year that just winds up in the trash. Like, this just is a super meaningful and personal gift that your loved one and your entire family can really cherish. So how it works is that every week, Storyworth emails your loved one a single life-related question, and you get to pick the questions too, which is really fun. So all they do is reply with a story. So, you know, it's a paragraph. It doesn't really take very much time. Both of my parents really enjoyed it because they were unusual questions, things they hadn't thought about in a while. It was just like fun for them to do. Then after that year is up, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories, memories, and even photos if you want into a beautiful hardcover book. So you get this like physical keepsake that you can get to hold on to, can look back on, can cherish for generations to come. It's just such a fun gift. We're really excited that they are sponsors again because we love telling you about them, and we highly recommend this, especially for the holiday seasons. With Storyworth, I'm giving those I love most a thoughtful, personal gift from the heart and preserving their memories and stories for years to come. Get started right away by going to storyworth.com/pillow. You'll get $10 off your first purchase. That's storyworth.com/pillow for $10 off. Okay, we got a couple of like rapid fire questions or themes that came up, and I think it would be good for us to address one of them here. Am I the asshole for not wanting to send a wish list? So a lot of people in like different ways were like, I don't like making lists. Like, it doesn't feel fun to me to receive like the exact things that I've asked for. Like, we've had this issue come up in my own family.
Oh, yeah.
People like, you know, it's stressful to have to like make a list and then it doesn't feel fun. Like, I'd rather people surprise me with gifts, or it feels more meaningful or more special if I haven't like specifically asked for that exact thing. So what's your hot take on that? Like, are you the asshole if you don't want to send a gift list?
My hot take is that yes, you are the asshole, because you are not considering that there, when we say gift list or wish list or whatever you want to call it, there's a whole range of specificities that you can put on that list. And I think that it's so easy, if you don't feel comfortable with that, that you jump to the extreme, which is putting the specific, I want this shirt in this color, in this size.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, of course that takes a surprise out of it. Well, it doesn't really, because you don't always get everything on the list anyway. But still, I mean, you could put, I would like a blue t-shirt, or I would like this type of experience. Like, you can get as vague as you want. Mm-hmm. Or like, I like clothes from this store. Yeah. Get me something here. Or I like clothes from this mall. Like, what? Like...
That might be a little too vague.
That might be a little vague. You might get something weird, but...
Yeah, I mean, I did, like, on my list this year, I said, like, I want a white ceramic pitcher that's, like, kind of a modern minimal shape. I gave a couple of examples of, like, exact links. I said, or you could find something, like, I think it'd be really cool if you found something from, like, a local what do you call people? Ceramicist?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Claymaker.
A ceramicist. It's like, yeah, if you want to do that. So I gave a couple of options, but I think that makes it feel, for me, it makes it feel more exciting because I don't know the exact item that I'm getting, but I'm also giving enough guidance for somebody. Like, you know, like I recognize that not everybody loves to give gifts the same way that I do. For a lot of people, it's like, It's a tradition. It feels meaningful. I want to do it, but I don't have the time and energy to be thinking of meaningful gifts for every single person.
Or so, you don't know that person well enough, yeah. really. And you feel like, well, like, you know, I don't want to like offend them by giving them something weird. Because also it's like, how many times have you gotten weird ass gifts?
Oh, yeah.
Where you're like, what?
That just end up getting into a landfill or so, being yeah, re-gifted to somebody.
There's also very much an argument for like, yeah, like, let's get specific. Let's make sure it's meaningful. Let's make sure you actually want it and use it so it doesn't go in the trash.
Yeah, I think this is another way that we get so in our heads about asking for what we want.
Yep. Like,
we all just have this secret desire that the people in our lives that love us can just read our minds and know exactly what we want and need, and we don't have to ask them for it. And it's just another way that that manifests. Like, I don't want to have to tell you what I want. Like, I just want you to come up with the perfect Christmas gift for me and wrap it up beautifully and surprise me with it. So, I mean, I get both ends of it. Like, you know, I of course would love if everybody in my life came up with these really beautiful, meaningful gifts and I didn't have to ask for anything and I just got to have that experience of like, wow, everybody knows me so well. But I also recognize that people are busy and not everybody's brains think in the same way yeah. when it comes to meaningful gifts, and like that it actually is a sign of care and consideration to take a little bit of time to tell people like, hey, if you gave me something like this, it would be really meaningful to me.
And I wouldn't be surprised if you started putting together your vague ass wish list that you might actually happen upon certain things where you're like, okay, actually, maybe there is a specific one that I want, and start feeling into like, okay, well, do I actually want to like, if they're going to give me something, you know, from this store or something of this type, like, why don't I get the thing I want? Like, the thing that comes to mind for me is like, if I wanted a surfboard for Christmas, I could, if I just put, I want a surfboard. Oh my God. I have no idea what I would get.
It'd probably get something from Costco.
I'd get like a Wavestorm from Costco and be like, that's not what I want. I don't surf that type of board. It's way too long. It's got too much volume. Like, you know, but even if I was specific, like, oh, I'd like a board that's about like 35 liters of volume and between this length and that length, there's so many different shapes out there and different types of boards that are used for different things. Like, I'm really the only one that knows what it is that I truly want and need in that area. And even then, honestly, I don't really know what I want or need. That's another story for another podcast. But yeah, I think that there are certain things where you're going to want to be specific, and there's certain things where if you don't care enough, then be vague.
Okay, as you were talking, I think I came up with a solution for my asshole situation.
Okay.
I think what I'm going to do...
Donate it to one of his organizations.
No, I'm going to do it right now, and we'll see. Maybe I'll get an answer while we continue recording this. I'm going to text my brother and tell him, I saw that you don't want gifts, and I want to respect that is your desire around the holidays.
Wait, can we call him and put him on speaker? Let's do it on the podcast and see what happens.
We can't because we're recording both on my...
Oh, no.
With our phones.
Do FaceTime on your computer.
Okay, we can try this. Let's see.
Let's see if we get a hold of him.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I have a quick question for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so I saw your email that you do not want to get Christmas gifts this year, and I totally respect that, and I love the options that you gave. I'm definitely planning on doing one of them. And I also found a small thing that just feels like very meaningful that I think you would enjoy, and I wanted to give it to you, so I wanted to ask you, like, would you be okay receiving a small gift? Or does it just feel like I don't really want anything physical?
That's okay. No, yeah, that's fine. It didn't have to be like super, you know, rigid or whatever, but I was just kind of putting out my preference, you know?
Awesome. Great. Yeah. Okay. I'm glad I asked.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks for checking in.
You're very welcome. All right. Well, I'll talk to you later.
All right. Love you.
Love you too. Bye. Yes. Christmas is saved.
Wow, he picked up. I'm so glad I suggested that. I'm curious. Yeah, well, hopefully Art will be able to really like boost the volume on him so that we can hear that.
Wow. Okay. Well, there you go. I solved my own asshole scenario. We are de-assholing ourselves live in the moment.
Good communication in action.
Yeah. And isn't that like, that was interesting too, to just hear him say, because I didn't know if, you know, he could have very well said, no, I feel very strongly, this is a boundary, I don't want to receive anything, like, please don't. So it was good to like ask, because I didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, and so, hey, to everyone listening, I mean, that's a great way to do it. Rather than being like, no, I'm going to give you a gift, it's like, hey, you know what, I found something that just really reminded me of you, or I thought that you would love. So you're leading with more of the emotion rather than I'm going to spend money and give you something. It's more of like, no, I saw something, really thought of you. I was wondering if you might be open to me getting that for you because, you know, it just reminds me of you.
All right, let's move on to the next one. I own a small bakery. My mother-in-law asked how much I charge for a German chocolate cake to take to her daughter's house for Thanksgiving. I told her $40. She said she would get back to me after she spoke to her daughter to see what she should bring to their get-together. Then she texted me and said, I have to be honest, that price is a little steep. I'm a tightwad, lol. Mind you, she's always supporting other small businesses in town, sharing posts and donating money, etc. Am I the asshole for, one, not offering her a free or discounted cake because she's my mother-in-law, and two, being upset that she said my cakes were too expensive when I know she spent at least that buying from others? This is a good one. I'm really torn on this one.
I don't have a good, like, immediate answer. I guess I have, like, two follow-up questions, which is, do you regularly offer discounts to family or friends or for specific situations? I guess I'm curious, because that kind of impacts whether the question of, like, are you the asshole for not offering her a discounted cake? I don't know what your practice is. I know different businesses have different practices around that. There might be someone who goes, this is a bakery. It's a super low margin business. Like, there aren't discounts to give. Like, we barely scrape by anyway. So, but it might be that it's like, oh yeah, you know, whatever, for family, or for friends, we're for whatever, repeat customers, we do this. So I don't know what the answer to that is.
I think you're not an asshole for not offering the free or discounted cake, but I do think, like, you could have offered free or discounted. Like, to me, it does feel, and this is just who I am, like, to me, it feels weird to not give things to close family or friends for free, or at least a discount. Like,
yeah, or maybe not free. I mean, it's, you know, she's paying rent on a bakery, and it costs money to make a cake, like, or like at cost or something, maybe.
I don't know. I'm stuck with this one because I'm like I wouldn't charge personally, but that's just me. I don't want to tell somebody that they need to run their life the same way that I would. So I don't want to say this person's the asshole, but I think, like, yeah, it does. It's something that maybe you could have considered. I love that the mother-in-law asked how much you charge. Like, rather, you know, she didn't demand a free cake or like, what's the friends and family discount on the cake or anything like that. My hunch is that it was one of those, like, I'm asking, but I'm not really, like, I don't actually want to pay. I'm asking because I want you to feel respected, but like, I'm kind of expecting that you're going to be like, oh, no, don't worry about it. I'll give it to you for free.
Yeah, or like, oh, you know, yeah, I sell them for $40 in the shop, but I'll do 20 for you.
I guess I'm just coming down on nobody's the asshole, like, around the cake. So then let's go to the second part of it, which is you're upset that she said your cakes were too expensive.
Well,
she said your cakes are too expensive.
Yes.
The text, and we have the receipts here. The text said, I have to be honest, that price is a little steep. I'm a tightwad. I can see how this person interpreted that as she's saying my cakes are too expensive. But I actually think the mother-in-law was trying to be very clear and saying, I'm the problem here. I'm a tightwad.
Yeah, it's that the price is a little steep for me.
For
I'm
what
guessing
I can afford.
That's what she meant. And then she's trying to make a self-deprecating joke by saying, I'm a tightwad, lol. Like, especially she adds the lol in there, I think. Like, she's trying to show that to soften it.
You know what? I have my decision here. I think that nobody is the asshole exactly here, but I do think that the person writing this cannot get mad at the mother-in-law for like supporting other businesses, sharing posts, donating money, yada, yada. Like, this person's thinking my mother-in-law is an asshole for not being willing to pay me full price. But you can't like be judging your mother-in-law for that when you are not willing to offer at least a small discount to your mother-in-law. So I think, like, again, I don't want to call this person an asshole for not offering the discount. If that's, you know, the way they want to run their own business, that's their prerogative. But I just don't think you can get mad at your mother-in-law for not being willing to pay the full price.
Yeah, and I think perhaps the mother-in-law missed an opportunity, you know, missed an opportunity to just be honest about what was going on of like, oh, okay, like I was thinking that maybe you would offer me a discount or something like
yeah.
that.
Especially for like Thanksgiving. And it's not clear, like, were they all spending Thanksgiving together too? Because like, I think that kind of...
I'm guessing not, because she says to take to her daughter's house for Thanksgiving.
But they don't say like, you know, I didn't go to there. Yeah, I don't know. That okay. kind of adds another little wrinkle to it too. But yeah, no one's the asshole, but you can get mad at your mother-in-law. That's where I come down on this one.
All right. And our final one, or final long one, we have a couple rapid fires to come after that. My workplace never has Christmas parties, but my husband's does every year. His work is a small company of less than 20 employees. My husband does not get along with one of the coworkers, so he doesn't want to go to the Christmas party at all. Spouses are always invited, so of course I want to go. It's the only Christmas party we ever get to go to, and I've known quite a few people he works with almost my whole life. They've asked me to still come to the party even if he won't go. Last year, I supported his decision and neither of us went. This year, if he refuses to go, I told him I'll go without him to his work Christmas party. Am I the asshole? Side note, my dad owns the company and is my husband's boss. So both of my parents are at the party. My dad is not the coworker my husband hates.
The side note killed me on this yeah. one. Like, they actually sent it as a separate message later. I'm like, that's not a yeah. side note. In that is this central makes, to the story.
In case this makes a difference. Like,
that completely changes the whole thing. If it was like just some random job where, you know, he doesn't like the employees and yada yada. Like,
yeah, actually, I was like, why you want to go yeah. to a random Christmas party?
In neither situation, actually, is this person the asshole. Like, if you want to go to a Christmas party, go to a Christmas party. Like, your husband's, he's allowed to make his own decision and say, I don't want to go. That's fine. But he's not allowed to tell you that you can't go. But yeah, like the fact that it's your family business like really changes things. Like, you are in no way, shape, or form the asshole for wanting to go to a holiday party from your parents' business.
Yeah, you'd be like, I'm going with my dad.
If anything, I think your husband's a little bit of an asshole for not wanting to go. Like, I get that he doesn't like his coworkers and doesn't
want to celebrate. No, just one. It's only one.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he just has a
Your
grudge.
Your husband is a Grinch. I'm sorry. Yeah, he's being also, real Scroogey. One coworker? You yeah. can't let one. Everybody yeah. has one coworker they don't like. You can't let one coworker ruin your entire holiday experience.
Yeah, also at your father-in-law's business. Like, what?
Yeah. You
like, is this some like power? Is this like some like Succession-style power play?
I know.
Or something? Like, come on, dude.
You just gotta go.
Be the bigger person.
Yeah, if the husband likes the job, otherwise he likes his other coworkers. It's his in-laws that own the company. Like, go to the holiday party. Get out of here.
Oh, but I'm really going to prove a point to my father-in-law. I'm not going to go to that holiday party. I'm going to take his payroll money, but I am not going to go to the holiday party.
All right. I mean, at the end of the day, look, people do get to decide what events they do and don't want to go to. If the husband truly does not want to go to the party, he does not have to go to the party. But yeah, you are not the asshole for wanting to go to the party. Go. Enjoy yourself. Have a great time. Tell him what he missed out on when you get back. Okay. So we have a couple of rapid fire to go through. We already talked about the am I the asshole for not wanting to send a gift list. Here's the next one. Am I the asshole for not wanting to share the holidays? I just want to spend time with my family, not my in-laws.
Yeah, you are.
Ooh.
I mean, because I say this is tricky because, you know, also like with our family, I mean, with our families, we grapple with this, mm-hmm. you know, like it's, you know, we can't share Christmas, for example, because my family lives like 6 hours away from your family. So it's like, I can't do like, you yeah. know, the day with one and the night with another. But what we do instead is that we split them up and we do Thanksgiving with my family and we do Christmas with your family. Christmas is a bigger celebration in your family than in mine. Christmas, you know, growing up was not really a particularly big event because my family doesn't really celebrate Christmas, but kind of, sort of, sometimes maybe they do. I don't know. But yeah, this doesn't work long term. I think this is the problem, is that, yeah, if your plan is to have kids who don't get to get married so that they don't have in-laws and create a bigger, broader family than just yourselves, then sure, go ahead and hoard the holidays just for you. But like, I would say that that is selfish, because you're saying, I want to make a choice for me to keep the holidays just for me. But then, like, what's going to happen to your children when they get married and they have in-laws? And like, it's hypocritical.
I can really empathize with this one, because like, I love your family. I love spending time with your family. There's zero shade around this. But it's just like, you know, the holidays bring up that feeling of being a kid and the traditions and all the stuff that you used to do. And so the way that we do it is, you know, we spend Thanksgiving with your family, Christmas with my family, and we've done that for like 16 years now. And I like always feel sad at Thanksgiving because I miss being with my family. And again, it's zero shade to your family. I love spending time with them. It's just like, I miss those traditions. I miss that, like, yeah, for 16 years, I haven't gotten to have a Thanksgiving with my family when, you know, I had it for 25 years before that. So, you know, I empathize with the, like, yeah, my, like, I don't, here, let me say this, like, I don't want to share the holidays either. If I could be completely selfish and make a decision just about myself, I would only spend the holidays with my family.
And you'd probably still be a kid too, because have all that holiday, you know, it's sort of like, yeah, if I could have my cake and eat it too, I, you know, want to be that, I don't know, like 10-year-old with like,
yeah,
that still with all that wonder and excitement. And
so to me, like, I would say you're not the asshole for not wanting to share, like having the desire to just spend it with your family. Like, that's understandable and that's okay. And I do think, like, the reason that I continue to go to Thanksgiving with your family every year, despite the sadness that I feel, is because I love your family and I love spending time with them. And I do think it's important to spend some of those, like, special times, those holiday times with your family. So for me, there's just a distinction between, like, the desire and the choice that you actually make. But I'll be honest here, like, if your parents were really pushing for us to share Christmases and like split off, you know, we'd go to Christmas with them one year, like I would really struggle with that. Like, really. So I don't have a hot take here. Just empathy with, like, you know, and this is like the best case scenario. If I hated your parents, like, this would be so easy, right? Like, but this is a great, you know, I have a great situation where I love my family. I love my in-laws. Like, I have two great places where I could spend holidays, but it's just hard sometimes. It's really hard sometimes. So I can just empathize with that.
Yeah. And I like what you said about, yeah, it's fine to not want to. But what you do in practice, I think that's the important thing of, yeah, of course it's so easy to beat ourselves up over like, oh God, like I don't want to go to this thing, or I don't want to do this. Oh God, I'm a horrible person for having that thought. And it's like, no, of course you're allowed to have that thought. You can't control that. And it's like, and of course, yeah, there's that, you know, there's that kind of inner child part of you that just wants things to be the way that they were. Like that's human nature.
Yeah, especially with the holidays. It's like, I just want it to be exactly how it always was.
I just wanted to feel like the way that it always did.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's part of life, is accepting, you know, of adulthood and growing up, is accepting that things can't always be the way that they always were.
All right. Am I the asshole for not wanting to be the one who always travels for Christmas?
No, you are not.
You're not.
I think that everybody's got to put in some work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. This is another way where I think like the traditions can sometimes end up feeling stifling for people of like, oh, but we've always done it at grandma's house, or we always do it at mom and dad's house, you know, and it can feel challenging of like, well, but it's, you know, especially when you have people who are living like across the country or different countries, you know, it's like, well, but I'm always the one who's having to make this effort to like pack everything up and get out there and not be in a comfortable space and, you know, all the stuff. So,
yeah. I think there are some exceptions. For example, my grandma is, I believe, 96. Did I get that right? I think my grandma is just about 96, maybe 97. And she is not capable of traveling, you know, longer than maybe, you know, 15, 30 minutes in the car. So this year, you know, this year the only option was Thanksgiving in LA with her. And, you know, and it's going to be like that, you know, for the foreseeable future. And that is what it is. So if, when there are limitations like that with like age or health, then of course you are allowed to be bummed of like, oh yeah, it sucks having to always travel. But I think there's a kind of a level of acceptance again of like, okay, yeah, like what is the alternative? Like we can't, you know, like she can't get on a plane. That's just not happening. The other one is like, okay, let's do the example of your family. You have a big family and pretty much all of them live in Santa Barbara. If we lived in like New York or something, it wouldn't be fair of us to be like, how come all 30 people don't ever come to New York ever?
Yeah.
Like, you know, that doesn't make sense. But it's like, so I think that oftentimes, you know, in families, it can be that like, yeah, most of the family lives in one general area and then like one or two people live elsewhere. And that can be challenging of like, yeah, how are you reasonably going to get them all there? Where are they all going to stay? It makes way more sense to do it where there's sort of more of a center of gravity. But if you are the type of family where it's like, we're all kind of equally spread out, and it's like, oh, well, we've always done it at mom and dad's house or whatever. Yeah, switch it up sometimes. It's not fair to be like, we always do the same thing if everyone is capable of traveling.
All right. Well, that is the end of our Am I the Asshole situations. I just want to say, you know, as we're wrapping up here, like the holidays are a joyous, wonderful, magical, beautiful time. And they're also really fucking complicated sometimes. Yep. And they can bring up big feelings. And it can feel very easy to just get stuck and frustrated and, you know, torn between wanting traditions and wanting to do things the way that they've always been done and also wanting something completely different. So if you're struggling with the holidays this year, you are not alone. Everybody's got some sort of challenge. Probably most people are asking themselves, like, am I the asshole at this time of year? So we feel you on that one. We would love if you shared this episode. Maybe this could even be the next conversation starter at the family holiday dinner. You know, if you don't want to talk about politics or like, what are you doing with your life? Bring up one of these scenarios and say like, hey,
what are these people doing with their life?
What do you guys think about,
let's talk about this
scenario? So you could send the episode to a friend who's maybe traveling on their way to family Christmas. Maybe put this on in the car with your siblings while running some last minute holiday errands. Listen to it with your partner while you're baking up your holiday feasts, maybe even share it with your parents. So spread the love, the Pillow Talks love this holiday season. We would love to get some new listeners, some new people in this community. So we'd really appreciate your support in sharing this episode.
All right. Well, that's it for today's episode of Pillow Talks. Thank you so much for listening. Join us again next week when we go over our top 10 podcast moments from this year.